Blog Talk Radio.
Hey America, we did it, 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 we did it. We elected our first black president. And I played the recording yesterday of his acceptance speech on the air because it was all kind of going down at like around 12 noon yesterday. And you know that's when I come live on the air. But I cried more so because I looked at other people's faces and saw the sea of faces that were of all hues, of all shades, of all flavors, or flavors, because you know I'm from New York, flavors. I saw all shades, all hues, all flavors, and just wow, like I can't believe it, just wow. It was just totally, totally the wow factor yesterday. So I was just amped to see that Barack Obama is now our president. And, you know, actually, I was going to say quiet as it's kept, but I'm saying it on the air. Dare I say I'm getting a little Obama'd out? I hope you guys don't kill me for that. But we're talking Obama on day one, and I think, I hope we let him breathe. I think he's been so gracious in opening up to us and sharing with us, sharing with America his hopes and his dreams for the future, for the country. But by allowing us a glimpse into his world and allowing us a glimpse into his life, it's like, okay, thank you. Good looking out. I really appreciate it. But now it's like, can we give him the space and the time and the effort to just start his job? I mean, not even just, you know, be president, but just to start his job. So I hope that we do. I hope that we do. But one of the things that I think is really important that we talk about today is that China actually censored part of his speech. And I remember mentioning this to you guys last week that we're going to discuss at some point the conflict in Gaza and the conflict of what's going on, you know, with the Afghanistan, I mean, not Afghanistan, with the Israelis and the Palestinians. And I really want to understand what's going on, what that conflict is about. So this person that I met, he is in Shanghai, and he was helping me understand exactly what's going on. And I told him, well, log on to my site, and then you can actually see the direction that I really want to take this research and take this study to. And he couldn't get on the website. I said, well, no, make sure you have the right domain name. I gave it to him again, and he emailed me back saying he just cannot get on the website. So I was like, that's particularly odd. You know, that's really weird that you can't get on. And he said, he finally sent back to me that China does not allow access to certain political websites. So that's heartbreaking. So even though, especially as a black woman in America, we may feel, or I may feel, you know what, America sucks, you know, we don't have any liberties, I can go to Google, I can go to political stuff, I can go to porn if I felt like it, even though I won't, but I could if I wanted to, because we have such freedoms and such truths that have been afforded to us that are not afforded to other people around the country. And this is a prime example how here I am just trying to say, check this website out so we can learn and grow together. And he just can't access it, which, you know, which is kind of bad that you just have no access to it. So that's a little heartbreaking. But I want to read a little bit to you right now about why a little bit of China censoring parts of Obama's speech. And this comes from the Beijing World Headquarters. The official Chinese translation of President Barack Obama's inauguration speech omitted his references to communism and dissent. And a live broadcast on state television Wednesday quickly cut away to the anchor when sensitive topics were mentioned. The comments by the newly installed United States president veered into politically sensitive territory for China's ruling Communist Party, which maintains a tight grip over the internet and the entirely state-run media. Beijing tolerates little dissent and frequently decries foreign interference in its international affairs. At one point, Obama said earlier generations, and I quote, faced down communism and fascism, not just with missiles and tanks, but with sturdy alliances and enduring convictions, end quote. He later addressed those who, end quote again, those who cling to power through corruption and deceit and the silencing of dissent, know that you are on the wrong side of history, end quote. The Chinese translation of the speech, credited to the website of the official China Daily newspaper, was missing the word communism in the first sentence. The paragraph in the sentence on dissent had been removed entirely. The censored version was carried by state-run Xinhua News Agency and posted on popular online portals in Sina and Sohu. Another portal, Natiz, used a version without the paragraph mentioning communism, but retaining the part about dissent. The news channel of state broadcaster China Central Television broadcast the speech live early Wednesday local time, but appeared caught off guard by the statement about facing down communism. The translator had no sooner said fascism and communism when the audio faded out from Obama's speech and the cameras cut back to the studio anchor, who seemed flustered for a second before turning to ask an expert what challenges the president faces in turning around the United States economy. Wang Jihong, deputy director of the CC General Editing Department, said he did not stay up to watch the inauguration broadcast, but suggested the transition was a normal part of the program. Quote, there are breakaways even when broadcasting China's own meetings, he said. Americans might care a lot about the presidential inauguration, but Chinese may not be very interested, end quote. No one in the editing department of the China Daily website was immediately available to answer questions. The full translation of Obama's speech could be viewed on the website of a Hong Kong-based broadcaster, Phoenix Satellite Television, which has a reputation as a more independent news source. The China Daily website posted Obama's full remarks in English only. China has previously altered the words of U.S. officials. A 2004 speech in Shanghai by former Vice President Dick Cheney was broadcast live on state-run television at the insistence of United States officials, but the Chinese transcript of the remarks deleted references to political freedom. In 2003, the memoirs of Hillary Rodham Clinton, Obama's nominee for Secretary of State, were pulled from the publication in China after the government-backed publisher removed references to the 1989 Tiananmen Square democracy protest and altered Clinton's comments about human rights activist Harry Wu. This is not good. This is not good. This is definitely not good. Kirby Queen just asked in the chat room, was it my hearing or did they also censor his middle name? When he was announced, they said H, and during the oath, his middle name was Silas because I know I saw his lips moving. See? You see? And I think that's kind of why the justice screwed up offering the oath, just to cause a little hiccup in there. You know what I mean? You know, we talk so frequently about conspiracy theorists and stuff like that, but it's like, hey, you know, what's going on? Because now I'm looking at it, and you said the same thing. Maybe you saw it or I saw it, but it's not even being mentioned in the media right now. But when they did announce him, they did say Barack H. Obama. They did not say his name. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what to actually make of it, you know. But I just think it was prudent just to mention the fact that China is not having it. They have their grip on people, and they're going to leave their grip on people, and they're going to maintain their grip on people just because, absolutely just because, and for no other reason but just to say because we can. And that's really not good. And we can say it from a position of freedom and a position of strength, but what about the people that really absolutely have no say-so in the matter? And I go back to my friend who's trying to, well, not my friend, but somebody who I met who's trying to help me understand the Palestinian conflict, and he said straight up, "Sorry, I can't access the website because it's censored." So when we look at all of these things, even as blacks, or now I just call myself an American, can we really, excuse me, decry and say America is really that bad of a place? I don't know that we can. America has its ills. America has its drama. But even with all of that, do we really need to put ourselves in a place where we start to bash America? And a lot of people really, really came down hard on Michelle Obama when she said for the first time she's really proud to be an American citizen or proud to be an American. And a lot of people didn't get that comment. A lot of people didn't understand it, and a lot of people couldn't figure it out. But I understood exactly. I understood exactly the perspective that she was coming from, because just as a black woman in America, we suffer and we go through so much that sometimes we're not very proud to be an American, or sometimes this is not such a skippy, happy place to be. And I say that all the time. I look at the disparities in education. I look at all of these things and wonder, like, golly, you know, what? How do we fix this, or how do we handle that? And it's a little difficult. It's a little difficult, and it's a little heartbreaking to actually see, hey, you know what? How do we get through this? How do we get through this as a country? How do we get through this as a people? How do we work our way through these processes or processes to really be able to arrive at a place where we can look at things, as Fox News would say, a very fair and balanced perspective? I don't think we can. I don't think we can. And I had to side with Michelle, First Lady Michelle Obama, when she said, you know what, I'm really proud now to be an American, because for so long we were screwed. And so, you know, we have to look at it from that perspective. So I'm really excited to be an American. I'm really excited to be black in America. It's kind of almost trendy right now. Dare I say a little bit trendy. But it is. It's all good. I want to shift our conversation. Let me just go back and see what's going on in the chat room. Kirby Queen says, they said everyone else is full middle. When you say everyone else like who? I'm not sure who you mean. Everyone, oh, probably, I guess, like other people getting inaugurated, I guess. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's what you mean. Yeah, okay. So I'm just going to let her give a couple minutes to allow time to comment. I actually, today, this is probably going to be one of my Obama Kool-Aid shows, because I do think it's worth mentioning, and I do think it's important. Oh, okay, hold on. They said everyone else's full middle name, all the people that were announced. You know what? I didn't even notice that. So I'm glad you said that, because I didn't even notice. I guess I was so amped up and so filled with the moment that I missed that. But I know for a fact when they announced him, they said Barack H. Obama. So I don't know. I'm going to go back and watch the video. I'm going to post the video on politicsremix.com, and I'm going to watch it. And just to answer your question really quickly, that you said, did I get a chance to look at the email you sent me about the murder, you know, to talk about when we discuss politics? I have not. Just been a little bit busy, so I will take a look at that. So I just wanted to let you know that, because I see you in the chat room. I see you in the chat room. I want to really also kind of switch gears a little bit. I'm going to get to Michelle Obama's fashion, because this is all about life and fun and having a good time. But what kind of leader do we think President Obama is going to be? Like, we all talk about how he's young, he's hip, he's trendy. What kind of leader do we think he's really going to be? I know one of the biggest issues for, you know, Obama is he going to get rid of his BlackBerry? That I really want to know. Is he going to get rid of his BlackBerry? Some people are saying he needs to get rid of it. Some people are saying that he's not. I have a friend of mine who's very passionate that he needs to shed the BlackBerry. I'm laughing in the chat room because you said you're waving. Are you waving goodbye to Bush or hello to President Obama? In any event, the wave is fun. And you know what's really funny, very quickly, when Barack Obama, when the Bushes left and got on the helicopter, everybody was waving their hand horizontally. When he waved his hand, he was lifting it up vertically. So it looked like he was raising the roof. And I said, I know I'm probably the only person that saw that. Everybody's waving their hands like left and right, like you're wiping down a window. And when he did his, he was kind of lifting his hands, kind of a throwback to the Arsenio Hall days when you're going woo, 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 woo. So I thought that was pretty funny. Yesterday, you're putting in the chat room both. Oh, my goodness, that's so funny. Yeah, that's hysterical. I just want to read. Today I'm reading a whole bunch of stuff because I have so much to share. I'm reading this from the Politico, and the name of this post by John F. Harris is A New Leader for a New Age. It's not very long, so that's why I'm going to read it. But it's pretty cool because it offers a different perspective and a different look at how we can view our new president. With one swift stroke, just 18 minutes of words, delivered with a stern tone and a steel gaze, Barack Hussein Obama sliced through the usual clutter and ambiguities of American politics and revealed what it looks like when history turns on a pivot. The Bush years are over. Obama's inaugural address could not have made the ending more stark, with repeated lines signaling a new direction and offering veiled but unmistakable indictments of what the 44th president called a, quote, failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. The speech was far less precise about what the Obama years will mean. Indeed, the new president tried to make a frighteningly improvisational nature of the moment, his administration swimming from its first instant to deal with a gasping economy at home and unfinished wars abroad into a source of strength. America's confidence, he implored, should flow from the knowledge that God calls on us to shape an uncertain destiny. That line most vividly suggested the most important message of the speech. Obama believes he needs vast power and vast flexibility to achieve his goals. It is clear he believes his own rhetorical mastery, harnessed to a tradition of great presidents and great crisis earlier in American history. We will give him the power and room to maneuver that he needs. He pleaded for understanding that the nation's challenges will not be met easily or in a short span of time, but know this, America, they will be met. His consistent rhetorical device was to portray any skeptics of his own plans for action, bold and swift, as sour defeatists and cynics at odds with the American tradition. Now, there are some who question the scale of our ambitions, he said, who suggested that our system cannot tolerate too many big plans, Obama declared. Their memories are short, for they have forgotten what this country has already done, what free men and women can achieve when imagination is joined to common purpose and necessity to courage. Obama has ample reason to believe Obama has ample reason to believe in the power of words. His race for the presidency was sent aloft with one powerful speech in Boston in 2004. Those words at the Democratic Convention sparked interest in the memoir he had written a decade earlier, only fueling the interest in a politician who thought and expressed himself with a fluency and instinct for nuance that was the opposite of the guttural certitudes that defined the 43rd presidency. I'm almost finished, y'all, but I've got to get this out because this is so important. Nor did words fail Obama this time as he looked out at a sea of supporters from the steps of the Capitol. If anything, that was more disciplined speech than Obama sometimes gives. The gassy flights to which he was occasionally prone during the campaign, "We are the ones we have been waiting for," were absent here. So were the more obvious and arguably overindulgent references to Abraham Lincoln, Obama's favorite president and one whose imagery he has often wrapped himself. Even so, Obama's more austere rhetoric Tuesday was deeply woven with American history, all employed for contemporary political reasons. There were references to forebears who fought and died in places like Concord and Gettysburg, Normandy and the Caisson. The message, current problems and the sacrifices he may ask to meet them are mild in comparison. That's from a piece that was written, who's a great writer, John Harris, for the Politico, and I would definitely recommend a lot of people take a look at it. I'll post it up on Politics Remix, because right now we have to look at what's going on in the political landscape from all sides, actually from all facets. It's slightly seething. It's a seethingly written perspective towards Barack Obama. And I think there's some stuff we have to look at because, you know, it doesn't sound like he's a huge fan. And maybe, you know, we have to get back to centrist journalism where there really isn't bias on either side. But I just think it's very, very, very well written and offers opposing views. And we shan't run from opposing views of Barack Obama. There are people that still want to hold him accountable. There are people that are not being dazed and mesmerized by his ability to mesmerize us with his words. Those are things that we all have to look at. So if you get a chance, you can just go to politico.com and you can look for John Harris's report, or you can just go to politicsremix.com and I'll make sure it's posted up there. So that's enough about that. Let me go back and see what's going on in the chat room. Hey, Jermaine, thanks for joining me. What's going on, Quartet Hour? He put in the chat room, hey, Si. Well, no, he put, hello, Si. I put my little slang on it, hey. So big shout out to Jermaine who just joined us in the chat room. Thank you so much. I look forward to chatting with you during the show. Typically, I'm engaged in the chat room, but I'm reading a lot today, just reading different people's perspectives on what happened yesterday. I'm anxious to hear from people in the chat room. What was your take on the inauguration yesterday? I would love to read it on the air to people that are listening to the show or to have downloaded it through iTunes who cannot see our chat room. That's kind of a special treat for us to be in the chat room and have the ability to engage each other. That's funny. I love getting text messages during the show. That's too funny. To everybody who's listening, thank you for listening. And thank you to the person who just sent me that text message. And thank you for keeping me encouraged to do the right thing and to bring a banging show to you every single day at 12 noon. It's all good. I'm going to slide on over just to read a couple more pieces. And they're all pretty short. But I just want to bring different perspectives on the inauguration. And, of course, I'm going to touch on Michelle Obama's fashion. You know, we can't talk about the inauguration without talking about all of the talent and talking about all the celebrities and talk about all the fanfare and pomp and circumstance and all the pageantry that went down yesterday. So that's we're talking about that. I'm sorry to people who are listening. I'm just reading text messages and reading stuff in the chat room. So it's a fun day today. Today is a fun day. We're not doing a serious lesson today. Today is just a fun day where we are talking about the inauguration, talking about Barack Obama, talking about this new presidency, and all of the good stuff that's coming up. One of the things that I'd like to pose to the group, it was just some comments made in the chat room before I start that thought. I was just blessed to watch it with my dad since he was out there marching with Dr. Martin Luther King back in the day. He had tears that made me tear up. Yeah, it was momentous. It really was. I believe it was Congressman Clyburn, I think. I can't remember. Or was it Lewis? Oh, gosh, my mind just drew a blank. I see it in my mind's eye. When Barack Obama came out, I think it was John Lewis, because John Lewis had just been interviewed that morning on like some of the cable news channels, and they had photos of him marching with Martin Luther King. So then to have him right there and Barack Obama give him a hug as soon as he walked out of the, walked out to greet us, to greet the world, he kind of gave him a brotherly, like a brotherly, like hug and a pound. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I did see, oh my goodness, my brain is going blank. What's the guy from Illinois who just became a senator? Not Blagojevich. Oh my goodness, my mind drew a blank. I can't believe this. My mind is a blank. Anyway, the black man who just became the senator from Illinois. I mean, I blogged about this and my mind just went blank. Somebody in the chat room help me out here, because I can't believe I just drew a blank. Somebody will help me out. I'm going to move on to the next topic because I'm bugging that I can't remember his name. But anyway, just want to switch gears a little bit and move on to just pay our respects to Senator Ted Kennedy, because that was definitely a scare yesterday. Curvy Queen just put in the chat room, I can't remember, so I don't worry about it. It's not that serious. It'll come to me probably like right as I'm getting ready to sign off the show, so I'm sure that's what's going to happen, so don't even worry about it. Thank you, my darling. Thank you anyway. But we can't really talk about what happened yesterday and miss what happened with Senator Ted Kennedy. That was a very sad thing that happened. And as of 5:36 p.m., yesterday, it is said, it's being reported that fatigue caused Senator, oh, my husband just came into the studio. It's Burris. Thank you very much. Burris is his name. Everybody in the chat room, you guys failed me. My husband was in another room. Oh, now she just put Roland Burris. Thank you. My husband saved me too. I can't believe I couldn't remember. I totally can't believe I couldn't remember because I talk about, I blog about politics all the time. But anyway, Roland Burris was his name. So anyway, let me move on to Ted Kennedy. But as of 5:36 yesterday, reports that fatigue caused Senator Kennedy's seizure at a congressional lunch with President Obama yesterday. He's in good shape and is expected to return home Wednesday morning. And they're saying doctors are, well, we all know he has a brain tumor. God bless him because he's done so much hard work. But also Senator Robert Byrd, he had a problem yesterday and he had to be rushed out. And while the paramedics were there, that's when Senator Ted Kennedy began to have a seizure. But the update on Senator Robert Byrd's office says that contrary to media reports, he did not have a medical emergency. He left the congressional luncheon because he was disturbed by what happened to Ted Kennedy. And earlier accounts suggested that Byrd had trouble eating. And that's actually what I heard, so I stand to be corrected. I thought he had fallen ill first, but when I further read and did my homework, it was revealed that Senator Ted Kennedy had his ailment first, and then Senator Robert Byrd recused himself because he was kind of distraught. So he's currently in his own office and doing fine, though he remains very concerned about his close friend Ted Kennedy, said a spokesman. And for those of you that just missed what happened, I kind of gave the update without giving the premise. Senator Ted Kennedy, who's a Democrat from Massachusetts, collapsed yesterday at the congressional luncheon for President Barack Obama, suffering a seizure at a luncheon held at the Capitol, and that's being reported by CNN and ABC News. Paramedics arrived on the scene, and Kennedy was taken from the luncheon on a stretcher, and all of the cameras were there. If anybody was watching it yesterday live, I'm sure you had to see it. But ABC was reporting that the seizures lasted several minutes, even as he was being taken. And I was watching one of the news commentators for MSNBC, and they were saying how he was still seizing even after the paramedics had arrived. That's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. And a statement from the hospital where Kennedy was taken says that the senator is awake and answering questions, and his son Patrick and his wife Vicky are with him. President Obama has already called to check in on him, and Patrick Kennedy told George Stephanopoulos from ABC News that his father is feeling fine. So our prayers go out to Senator Ted Kennedy. He has done a lot for the people, for just the people of Massachusetts. So whether you like him, whether you don't, whatever, whatever, he has really done a lot for the people, and he's been an amazing senator. So our prayers definitely go out to Senator Ted Kennedy and his family, because that's a very, very sad thing. You know, just a very sad thing, you know, that happened. And I don't want to get sad. You know, my heart bleeds for everybody. Y'all know I have such a soft spot for people. So, you know, we just hope that he gets better and that we wish him a speedy recovery so he can get back to doing the people's business. But in other great news, today is just all news and all updates about the inauguration yesterday, that this woman named Emily Miller, she has been helping people less fortunate really get part of the inauguration spirit. And this woman, Emily Miller, she made a beeline for a rack of gowns, grabbing fuchsia dresses and a stole for an inaugural ball on Tuesday. And after combing through the display table, she added silver pumps, a necklace, and earrings, and then she enjoyed a manicure as a live jazz band played in the background. Now listen to this. This is one of those human interest feel-good stories. Many inaugural celebrants shelled out hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars to attend one of the dozens of balls across the nation's capital. I think, now this is just a sidebar, I think last night they said the Obamas went all the way up, they went up to like 10 balls, which is amazing. That's a lot. But anyway, they just went from kind of room to room, I guess. But Miller, who until 4 months ago had been homeless, she's going to pay absolutely nothing. The opportunity comes courtesy of Virginia businessman Earl W. Stafford and his nonprofit foundation, which together paid more than $1.6 million so people who otherwise might have been excluded from the festivities would get a chance to celebrate. On Sunday, Miller and others were sifting through donated formal wear, trying to find the best fit before Tuesday's ball. Quote, there is something I just would never have imagined that this would happen, said Miller, who joined six other women from a homeless services group by the JW Marriott, a luxury hotel on Pennsylvania Avenue near the White House. I've come a long way. With the help of nonprofits and social service groups nationwide, Stafford has invited Miller and about 700 others feeling the sting of the struggle, the homeless, unemployed people, wounded war veterans, and others to participate in the People's Inaugural Project. Stafford and his nonprofit, the Stafford Foundation, have raised money for its People's Inaugural Ball, which Miller will attend, also a youth ball and others. They've also paid for hundreds of guest rooms, food, and access to a heated tented balcony overlooking President-elect Barack Obama's parade route. Stafford, a former CEO of the Centerville, Virginia-based tech firm Universal Systems and Technology Incorporated, said those guests will mingle with people who have been more fortunate, a deliberate effort to bring different lives together. About 2,000 people will attend the foundation's festivities. I mean, if that's not a feel-good human interest story, I don't know what is. That just brings chills up your spine. I just want to read a little bit more before we kind of move on and get to all the fashion and fair and pomp and circumstance. Just to wind this story down, what I hope happens is that barriers and walls will be broken down and that there'll be less concentration on that which divides us and more concentration on that which we have in common, said Stafford, 60 years old, who said he was motivated by his Christian faith to host the events. We want to inspire people to become their brother's keepers, to help do a little bit for others. The foundation plans to do follow-ups as well. If we're really sincere with that, we will not send these people home in the same condition they arrived, he said. Among the invitees is 16-year-old Austin Henderson, whose trip to Washington marked his first time outside of Inglewood, a neighborhood on the southwest side of Chicago. Henderson's grandmother has been raising him and his six siblings after their mother died nearly two decades ago. Now that's odd. Oh, it says nearly two decades ago, because I was like, last time I checked, a decade is 20 years, and this kid's only 16. So I guess, unfortunately, perhaps he grew up totally without his mom, which, you know, is very unfortunate. But anyway, Austin and about two dozen other students from Urban Prep Charter Academy for Young Men arrived Sunday. They will watch the parade and attend the youth ball. Henderson said he was overwhelmed when he learned that he was going to the nation's capital for Obama's inauguration. Once everybody left the room, man, I busted out crying, he said. Henderson, who says he wants to be a biology teacher one day, feels inspired by Barack Obama's path to the White House. If I can follow in the same footsteps he took, I can do the same thing, but even better, he said. I mean, there are just countless. I'm not going to make the whole show about reading all of this stuff, but I have just been reading piece after piece after piece about all of these amazing feel-good stories about people who are being drawn to change, people who feel compelled to change, and people who at this defining moment really, honestly, truly want to be their brother's keeper. And you know, I think we kind of should have been like that all along, but I've always argued this go-go 80s, capitalistic, gotta-get-mine, hip-hop swagger is really what has hurt us in so many facets. I mean, I look at this entire generation, and it takes someone like Barack Obama to tell young men, pull your pants up, his pants are up. You know what I mean? I think everybody is being compelled to this call of service, this call to action, and this call to really look out for other people. I mean, that's kind of what it's about anyway. I know when I was little, if I did something wrong, Well, you know, the darling angel that I was, I never got in that much trouble anyway, but you know what I'm saying. When I did get into trouble, just the few times that I did did as a kid, I got in trouble by my neighbor. My neighbor told my grandmother told my father, and my father tore me up. So, I mean, I got in trouble so many times for one infraction. It just, you know, forced me to kind of want to do the right thing. And I remember there's a scripture. I believe it's, no, it's not a scripture. I heard it in church. I'm sorry, I have to be careful where I say I get my information from. But the quote that I heard was, I can't make you do right, but I can make it extremely difficult for you to do wrong. And I think that's what we're missing right now. And if we really carefully look at what Barack Obama is saying, he is saying a lot of the things that are on the Republican agenda, such as personal responsibility, such as really pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, which is the antithesis of what the Democratic Party stands for. The Democratic Party stands for a lot of social programs, typically bigger government, which George Bush did. But, I mean, if you really look at all of these things, he's not pushing a very Christian or Democratic agenda. And I think to soften the blow to some Christians and evangelicals, that's why he got someone like Rick Warren, who is pretty conservative, to give the invocation, because he wants to make sure he maintains relationships with all of his constituents. But when we really look at the issues, you know, Barack Obama is a liberal, very, very liberal. But just his call to service, his call to action, his call to people to rise up and really take personal responsibility is absolutely amazing. So I applaud the man who has these homeless people coming in, the young kids coming in. People actually feel like they can change their neighborhood. And one of the reasons I was, I wouldn't say angry, maybe bitter or defensive or really opposed to the whole candidacy of Barack Obama, is because I felt people were tap dancing behind Barack Obama, you know, just being fanatics without having any regard for their own neighborhood. I saw countless bus rides of people going to see Barack Obama, and we want to go see him speak, but yet they would bypass their local school election, or they would bypass their local mayoral election, or they would bypass community action meetings in their own neighborhood. And it was frustrating that everybody's willing to put their money down and take days off of work to follow Barack Obama without regard to what's going on in their own neighborhood. But I believe what is happening is that because they did pick up the cross, so to speak, and follow him, that they are so empowered and so encouraged and so on fire and ready to go that they are going back into their neighborhoods to change. And since he's going to be with us for 4 years, you know, everybody gets excited and amped in the beginning, and then they start to fade and they start to fade away. But because that is pretty much his platform, there's no excuses right now. There's absolutely no excuses, because at every turn, left, right, or indifferent, you will be hearing Barack Obama and his platform and his mantra of, we are the change that we seek. We are the ones who really need to make the difference. So I'm really excited about that. Oh, there's a lot of stuff in the chat room. Let me see what's going on. Hey, how elegant. Hey, Sai, sorry I'm late. Are you kidding me? You're always welcome here, girl. I don't care if you listen to the show 30 seconds before it's getting ready to go off the air. The fact that you took time out of your day to listen, I so appreciate it, and to come into the chat room. So thank you very much, my darling. Yeah, that guy was great, the one who took 300 people downtown D.C. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. And you know something that I'm noticing? It's not nouveau. It's not chic anymore to flaunt your money. It's not hip and cool. I'm reading countless articles all over the internet and countless blog posts about all of these people who shop, and they're still spending and they're still shopping, but they're now asking for plain non-branded bags. They don't want people to know they're still at Henri Bendel's and all these other places. But then on the flip side of that, I heard J. Crew's website got shut down yesterday, because everybody was trying to buy those gloves that Michelle Obama had on and Sasha and Malia's coat. And I know Sasha's coat, I think, was $128. I don't know how many people can afford $128. Well, you know what? I shouldn't even say that because I know when my kids were little, I probably would have spent that much on a coat. Actually, my son was 2 years old, and we bought him a sheepskin about that same price. So let me retract that before I open my mouth and insert my foot. So I got to be really careful. You know, I guess for a good winter coat, how much are you supposed to pay for a little girl? I think it's $128 at J. Crew. And I think for J. Crew, that is moderately priced because I have some things for J. Crew, and J. Crew is not cheap. I actually prefer Banana Republic. I actually love Banana Republic clothes because the pants are very long, and I'm so tall, they fit me pretty well. How Elegant put in the chat room, oh my, Sasha and Malia's clothes were so cute. Yeah, they are. They're absolutely adorable. And you know what? Whenever you can, log on to ourfirstlady.com. That's the blog that I run. And on ourfirstlady.com, it's where you can see what they buy, and then you can buy it directly from the site. But I've been so busy. I can't believe following the election and following all of these things, I haven't been able to blog about it. So unfortunately I haven't been able to, you know, post up some of the outfits, but I will be getting that done tonight and tomorrow, so you can log on and buy all of the cool fashions that you saw Michelle and Sasha and Malia wearing yesterday. Let me see what's on the chat room. Ah, it says J. Crew is so white bread bland. Yeah, you're absolutely right, actually. And so this is the best thing that could have happened to J. Crew, because J. Crew and Abercrombie and Fitch are two of the non-swaggerific brands. Was that a good way to put it? Non-swaggerific brands there are. I won't even go into an Abercrombie and Fitch store because it scares me. If you ever walk past that store in the mall, it's dark, and it looks like the windows are closed. And I just will not go into that store. But a lot of people shop there, but they will not get my money. And J. Crew either. The few things that I have from J. Crew were like clearance or sale where it was just too inexpensive to pass up. But I'm J. Crew is not one of the stores that I actually go to. I actually like New York and Company. I think there used to be Lerner. Maybe that's like dating myself or something, but I like their stuff. And I like Banana Republic. Like if I have to buy something for a meeting or an outfit to go give a lecture, I'll definitely go right to Banana Republic. In the chat room, you guys are too funny. Swaggerless. Yeah, they're very swaggerless. Oh, my goodness, yes. That would be a great blog if anybody had the time to create a blog called Swaggerless. And it was just all like lame outfits. That's hot. Swaggerless. Going back to Michelle Obama's outfit, she had on sensible shoes yesterday walking in the cold. The green shoes bothered me. They were ugly. But I think she has to be very careful with the shoes that she wears because I believe she's very, very, not I believe, you can see she's pretty tall. And I think if she dares to put on a heel, she would be taller than Barack or President Obama. And I don't think America's ready for that. I know they're ready for a strong woman, but I don't know if they're ready for that. New York and Company was once learned or once owned by Lex Wexner. Oh, really? Lex Wexner used to own it? I didn't know that. That I didn't know. Yeah, it was Lerner. I heard she wears a size 11 shoe. Yeah, she's a big gal. She's not a teeny-weeny sister. She's tall and lanky. She's very tall and lanky. I think she's 5'9" and was taller at the ball. Yeah, see? I'm 5'8", though, and Kirby Queen will tell you, I'm pretty tall, so when I put on heels, I get very darn close to 6 feet tall, if not at 6 feet, because I wear pretty high heels. I just know she's taller than a mug. You guys are a mess. You know, let me toss this out to the chat room and to all of the listeners. Should Michelle Obama draw a salary? Oh, Sandy, you said you're 5'8". That's about my height. I think I might be a smidgen taller. But anyway, listen, should Michelle Obama draw a salary? Because Joe Biden's wife, Jill, said that she is going to continue to teach. So how would we feel as Americans if
we said that we're going to allow, and I say allow loosely, Michelle Obama to continue to work. How would we feel? And if, in fact, we ask her not to, should we pay her a salary so she can attend state's business? And I believe that she should draw a salary. So what do you all think? Wow, yes, give her the money. She's a glamazon. You guys are a mess. I think she deserves a salary. I really think we deserve to pay her a salary, because if we're asking her to do things that we ask her to do, host state dinners, like, can we say to her, no, be a stay-at-home mom to Sasha and Malia and not attend all of this stuff? I believe the First Lady should get a salary. And maybe because she's a sister, maybe because I would be willing to pay an extra $10 on my taxes to be able to afford to give her a salary. Absolutely. And a lot of people, I think that's because we live in such a misogynistic society that people don't see it, that that's something that she should be doing. But this is a woman who was not a career politician's wife. Like, some women were career politicians' wives, where they did nothing but help their husbands in their candidacy, but Michelle Obama was not that. She had her own job, making a few $100,000 a year. So how can we ask her to just totally relinquish her career to be Barack Obama's helpmeet? And, you know, some people would say, well, that's part of the sacrifice, but I don't know. Let's see what the chat room says. I concur. Why not get paid? She has some important duties as First Lady. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. A lot of people wouldn't agree with us. I've blogged about it, and a lot of people say that that's part of the sacrifice of becoming, you know, a president's wife. All of their expenses are paid. They have a fabulous house, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I think if we're going to mandate she host events and host balls and be on guard, I think it's a little presumptuous of us to say, and we're not going to pay you. I don't even care if it's $100,000. She does need to. I think that would be a fair salary, $100,000. I think $100,000 is fine. I think we should pay her, and I think we should pay her $100,000. So, and that's because Barack Obama, President Obama, makes $400,000. Vice President Joe Biden makes $221,000, I believe it is. $221,100 is his salary. And Michelle and Joe Biden's wife make zip zilch zero. But Jill is going to continue to work as a teacher because, you know, they kind of lived in that area anyway. So her salary as a teacher, I'm going to guess and say $50,000. You know, I don't know how – she says she's been teaching for 24 years. So I'm going to guess and say, you know, $50,000, $60,000, maybe $70,000 she's making as a teacher. She should be making at least $75,000 as a teacher with 24 years experience. But as far as Michelle Obama, she has to relinquish everything. So I do believe she should get a salary. And I think $100,000 is fair. So let me see what else is going on in the chat room. Oh, okay. Michelle Obama is 5'10 and 3/4 inches tall. That's a tall chica. She's tall. How elegant is it? She just Googled it. And he is actually 6'1", but with more precision, 6'1.5". So, okay, he's 6'1.5", and she's 5'10 3/4". That's some tall people. They are some tall folk. That's pretty tall. So, you know, let me see what else is going on in the chat room. Nothing. Wow, it's quiet today. Where is everybody today? This is odd. Very, very quiet today. Right? Let me go back to the chat room. Yes. It's so quiet today. I talked about everything I had to talk about. I had all my bullet points set out, and I had everything all done, and now we still have a couple minutes left in the show.
Okay, we're back to the height issue. How Elegant says, I'm 5'10", 5'9", and 3/4". Yes, darling, you're tall. I'm not 5'8". And Curvy Queen says she's 5'6". Yeah, Curvy, I just see your comment in the chat room. I think we kind of lost the momentum this week because of election. And, you know, this was part of our success series of awareness and spirituality this week. But I think with Monday being Martin Luther King Day and then Tuesday being the election and then today a lot of people are back to work and they're probably trying to play catch up. Sandy says, it's okay. You just talk to us. Let me tell you, if that's the case, you remember the old party lines? We could get on a party line and we can let the world listen in on our conversation between the three of us as we talk about how much we liked or disliked Michelle's clothes and Sasha and Malia's clothes. They're just losers. They're just missing out today. That's all. That's all it is. But the conversation today just went a little more quickly than it usually does. So, you know what I will do? I have 3 songs that I have uploaded getting ready for Friday's show, so I'll play a song and we could jam to the song. I've got Just in Case by Jaheim, Mary J. Blige, You Remind Me, and Summertime by Will Smith. Let me just close my eyes and hit a button and we'll see which one comes up.
Sweet memory.
throwback to 19. I think that's like 93 maybe. No, wait. It's between 92 and 94. So I was using that song to get ready for Friday's show. And so I said, I'll just throw it on now and down to the end of today's broadcast, which was really just talking about Barack. Oh, the most important thing we actually talked about today, though, on today's show is this whole thing with China and their censorship. Let's keep that on our radar as we move forward in 2009, because that's deep, especially since we're so grossly financed by China. The fact that they're censoring so much stuff, I think we should just kind of keep that in the back of our brain and revisit that when we have a full hour of politics. So, but other than that, it was super fun talking to the ladies today. You know, talk some good stuff, talk some tchotchka politics and shoes and gloves and J. Crew and all that good stuff. Tomorrow is Thursday, so you all know every Thursday we have our weekly life study hosted by Dewan Colion. So he will be with us tomorrow for the full hour talking about living our best life from a biblical perspective. So please tune in for that. And please remember, as we depart each other's company, that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do, or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Just one quick programming note. LaVon, who usually joins us in the chat room, who's from Pittsburgh, actually flew to the East Coast, and she was with me in the studio on Monday. She just sent me a text message that she has safely landed back in Pittsburgh and will be listening to the show tomorrow. So thank God that she made it back to Pittsburgh safely. Everybody, I thank you all for listening. I love you all for listening. Curvy Queen, I see you put in the chat room. Call me when you get a minute. I'll call you as soon as this broadcast is over. And I'll see everybody tomorrow for our weekly life study co-hosted by Dewan Colion. Thanks so much. It's your girl, Cy Brown, right here for Life Remix Radio. Peace.